little good gene thrown.
Yeah, this is real. I weighed myself. I'm back at 185 again, so I'm 10 pounds heavier than I was like 2 months ago.
You're a beautiful human being now.
I'm so fat. Like, you really don't get like how you're fat, like, my gut is.
You're like 6'1", though.
Look at my gut.
Girl from Chicago.
Does that look like a normal fucking person's gut?
You're pushing it out.
I'm not. I'm always sucking it in. I don't know how many times I have to explain this.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Game Over Greggy Show. Kevin, keep all of that. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer / seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hi, Greg.
It's not a Heather Gray shirt, but it is a dark gray shirt.
Yeah.
Is it a brown? Is there a brown in there? Am I seeing a brown in there? Does anybody see a brown?
It looks like it's pretending it's charcoal, but it's missing.
It's missing
what
something.
Makes charcoal, charcoal.
It's gray, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dark gray.
I'm going to do this. You're showing the ice cream scoops in a weird way. You got that thing where, like, I hate it when the t-shirts do that, where it rolls up a little bit there on the end like that.
You see, they got to be rolled up all together or not at all.
Now, real quick, Kevin just exclaimed, God damn it, audibly enough for us all here. Do you want to restart the show? What did you do wrong? What's wrong?
None of our mics were on.
No, I mean, everything's
all
gone.
All of our mics were on.
No, it's just a stupid time code. Someone changed the settings on it.
Okay.
So now it says 9 hours and 14.
But you understand why an audible goddamn it like that.
It's fucking useless.
It wouldn't be a show without Kevin interrupting it unnecessarily.
What am I going to do with that? How am I going to edit with 9 hours?
5 seconds into the show.
Well, you just keep that time code.
No, but that doesn't, when you import that.
Sure.
Then it's
minus zero from it.
Minus 9 hours from it?
Multiply it by the square root of cheese.
Take 9 and minus zero from it and you'll still have 9, Kevin.
Who changed the setting on that?
I didn't.
Girl from Chicago.
I like the fool Bobby Brown with it.
Over there, the Pure One, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim ask.
Oh, you know what I'll do?
What are you going to do, Kevin?
I'm going to cut.
Let everybody know.
I'm going to cut, and then I'm going to reset it without deleting any of the files. That does that, right? You can just go and reset it.
We have
it.
To fire you at some point, right?
Somebody. So the national nightmare is over. Kevin couldn't figure out how to reset it. So now he's just going to use a stopwatch on his phone, plus or minus a minute 30, and there you go. You're all set now. You ready, big dog, Kev? We got your permission to keep doing the show over here, big guy.
Kev, give us the okay.
Give us the okay, big dog. Kev, you okay?
We're sending word to Cape Canaveral. We need your word back, Kev.
Big dog, Kev. You happen over? Oh, he's got the sad eyes and the sad face.
Do you want me to?
His sad beard.
You have to say when you're starting it, Kevin, or else it's useless.
Hey Google, start the stopwatch.
No,
it's fine.
All right, bye.
It's not useless because then I just know roughly around 2 minute mark.
Exactly. You're fine.
Like 2 minutes within the 40 minutes for the first topic or whatever. Why? Why you guys left?
Because this is a very fun situation. It's a glimpse behind the garbage truck on fire. So if you get... And rounding out the group, the pride of Long Island, returning to the show, Colin Moriarty.
I'm back. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming home to this.
Should have really not come home.
Yeah.
Not deal with this.
It was an interesting week. No Nick, no you.
This is reuniting. All of us.
And it feels so good.
For the first time, and it feels like a long time, but I don't think it was.
It wasn't that much.
I was gone for 8 days.
When we're together,
because you were
all
gone,
but
he was gone when you were here.
Mm. So. 8 days and nights. Yeah, you were gone for a long time.
Yeah, I was gone.
Fixing that studio.
Back. Stuff up. I am, actually. It's a nice break. I was starting to go a little crazy over there.
Are you starting to return to sanity? Or
no. Okay, no. So it's going to be a long time until I'm 100%. So I might not be the same ever again.
What happened to your thumb?
Truth be told. No, I jammed it carrying
a
box.
Nick, what happened to your thumb?
And just
you jammed it?
Yeah.
But it's not, so it's not cut, but you have a tape?
No, it's fine. It was just, it was bleeding a little bit on the nail. So I taped it over so I don't bleed onto stuff.
You do like what my dad does when he just puts duct tape on his finger and then leaves it there for like
days? I thought about
days.
Well, because it bled and then I'm like, oh, I'll wrap it. And if it keeps bleeding by tomorrow, maybe I'll do something about it. Still bleeding. I thought for 1 second about putting super glue on it.
Ooh, man, real man stuff.
Then I was like, I'm not manly enough to put super glue on it.
So then you got the little brace thing.
I went to the urgent care because it kept bleeding. So I was like, I'm going to go to urgent care in my neighbor in the marina, which I thought only cost me $100. But it turns out that was just my copay. Then for an x-ray and a little splint was an additional $140.
Good. I know
so
that
for
place.
$240, I had a doctor who was with me all of 2 minutes tell me it's going to be fine.
You're going to live.
And when I asked this guy, I was like, it's really hurting, but I guess it's fine. Should I do anything about it? He's like, might be broken, might not be broken. Either way, there's nothing really we can do for it. We can just put a splint. Do you want to know if it's broken or not? I'm like, well, kind of. Because I'm like, doesn't that affect? I'm like, what does that affect? It's like, well, it affects how long it's going to heal. So if it's broken, it's probably going to take like a month or two to heal. If it's not, it'll take 7 to 9 days to heal. I was like, well, I want to know that because I got more shit to do. He neglected to tell me that in order to know that, I would need an x-ray that would cost $125.
So my favorite thing is then you get this little splint thing.
Get the splint thing, which costs $15.
And then we go,
which I
we go to lunch.
At Walgreens.
We get,
like
in your car, we get in your car to drive.
And I looked out of my hand.
I already think Nick's losing his mind. Then all of a sudden, Nick just starts driving and just goes, I was just looking at his head. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is it.
Yeah, this is it. He forgot about it. He blacked out everything. He's slowly losing. Yeah.
Turns out
we appreciate
he lost
all the work you're doing.
No, my pleasure.
Everyone's going to be excited when they see the studio.
It's really fun. It's been a little bit of a kerfuffle because a lot of things have gone not wrong, just kind of wrong.
Kind of like how we opened this podcast.
Just, yeah, but that's exactly like
every
that.
Every day, every decision, everything.
We had some stuff shipped incorrectly, wrong sizing for things. There's a lot of problem solving that last week that drained me. And then... Yeah. To add insult to injury, I busted my thumb.
Well, in addition to that, I was hanging out with Kevin, and Kevin's like, dude, I'm concerned about Nick. And I'm like, what's up? He's like, he has bruises everywhere. What do you mean he has bruises everywhere?
We had to carry a lot of stuff up and downstairs and things like that.
So. Was it Matt?
You know it was Matt, yeah. These bruises appear right when the big brother comes back to town.
The big dog.
No. He's walking around with a sock full of soap, just whipping everything whenever something's wrong.
No, it was brutal. Like, I don't know where I got these scratches from. I just have no idea how my arm got like this, but.
Wait, show me again. No flex for everybody. Yeah, show them my scoops. There it is.
Pump it up.
Shut up and let him be happy for 2 seconds.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Speak up, Kevin. It's important.
Who got him that shirt? Who told him he was okay to wear that shirt?
Get in front of the
shirt. Please show
everybody.
People
this
the
is
shirt.
The big dog Kev shirt. We had a fan send us all sorts of homemade shirts for us.
I love/hate this shirt so much.
Why are you going through my wallet? Wait a second. What are you doing? Why are you going through my wallet?
Oh, it's tax season.
Oh, no, not my birthday tax. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Game Over Greggy Show. Each and every week, 4, sometimes 5 best friends gather on this table. Each bring a random topic of discussion for your amusement. If you like that, head over to patreon.com where you can toss us a few bucks.
What do you have so many ones?
Who the fuck are you, Greg?
Why is everybody... Don't start... No, don't... You know, nobody... Don't worry about what's happening.
You got like a G in your wallet. What are you doing?
$15 with a ones. Okay, so that's interesting.
What do you want me to do? That's just how it is. You go to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you get each and every episode early. You can get a whole bunch of exclusive perks and bonuses there. We put them up on Friday for you. Then if you have no money to toss, that eventually goes to my wallet, you can head over. You can head over to youtube.com/kindoffunny where you post a topic by topic day by day until the entire thing posts as one big video in MP3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going away. I drew money so I'd have cash.
Are you going to a strip club?
Yeah, no.
The dollars. I mean, I hate cash. Period.
Oh, I always have cash.
I hate it though because this is what happens. I put in a 20 and then for something and I get all these ones back. And yeah, I agree. And then a long time ago, I was forced to switch to a bifold wallet instead of a trifold wallet. And these things suck. There's no room. All the money gets bent and jammed in there.
That's because you're not supposed... No human being is supposed to have that many bills in their pocket.
What do you want me to do?
It feels like a sandwich.
This is the world I was cursed with, all right? I wanted some cash, and I have too much now.
What's the difference between cursed and cursed?
Use cursed.
Cursed would be... Isn't that a...
No,
I guess two curse would be yeah.
Harry Potter and the blank child. What is it?
Cursed child.
So it's not cursed child.
No. Well, I think you could say cursed is cursed. That's what I'm thinking. Now, let me just
see what I'm talking about. This bifold though, you got all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's all
I don't
shoved
like
in
this.
Well,
I don't
bifold.
Like this. Well, now I got cash. You know, I got cash because I sometimes I just want to use cash randomly. It's like how my dad sometimes only uses his Easy Pass in New York City every other time. And then when I ask him why, he's like, I just don't want him to know where I'm going.
For the toll roads? Nice. Very, very smart. Very, very
so smart. You're dead. Oh, my God.
Colin. I'm like, why are we online at the Throgs Neck Bridge? We could just go through the Easy Pass. We got to use the cash this time. I'm like, all right.
But don't they take a picture of your probably. Fucking license every time you go through that thing?
God bless them.
Colin, you're back. You're returning. What's your topic?
Dinosaurs.
I'm so happy we're all back together and this is what you get. What about dinosaurs, Colin?
Your favorite dinosaur.
Yes.
Talk about your favorite dinosaur. Now, I want to give a shout out. I'm gonna start this. All right with you, Kevin, if I start, all right? You okay with that? Okay.
Don't worry. He won't let you know if something's not okay with it, so you're maybe a minute and a half in.
Okay. Gonna give a shout out to my dude, the Stegosaurus. What I feel like is an underappreciated defensive dinosaur that uses his armor and his spikes to keep everyone at bay. as he eats bushes and flora all around him. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's got a small neck, so he's eating on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, he's hanging out. He's chilling. He's got the little spiky tail. Mm-hmm. You know, he can fuck mm-hmm. you up with it if he wants. So a little armor totally plating. Don't. Everyone leaves him alone. My dude, the Stegosaurus, keeps to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. why I want to give, because everyone's like, oh, I like the, you know, like the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I'm like, well, of course. Yeah. What about the Stegosaurus? You know, Tyrannosaurus Rex not fucking with the Stegosaurus. No one's fucking with the Stegosaurus.
I don't know if you have it on good authority that the Tyrannosaurus Rex doesn't fuck with the Stegosaurus.
We actually don't have this on none of this on good authority because it happened hundreds of millions of years ago.
It's a distinct possibility that at some point in the history of the Earth, a T-Rex was like, I'm a fuck with that Stegosaurus yeah. right now.
I'm going to fuck that Stegosaurus.
I'm
going to
fuck that thing up
I'm
right now.
Fuck that. The comet's hurtling through the atmosphere. He's like, I got nothing to lose.
It's time. The writing's on the wall.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Time for me to bite this thing, this armored. I've always wanted to. Now it's my chance.
Does anyone even care about dinosaurs? Because, like, isn't it a, like when you're a kid, everyone loves dinosaurs. But then at some point, unless you become like a paleontologist, you just don't care.
Well,
I mean, about
well, here's the thing. We all know dinosaurs don't actually exist. They're like Santa Claus, and they're really cool when you're young, and then you grow up, and they're still cool. But then you just realize that people are just making them up, and they're not real. Did you hear about that report? Dinosaurs not real?
Yeah. I mean, the Christians who just believe the yeah. earth. Yeah, is that what you're talking about?
No, dinosaurs are I'm just making up bullshit. Oh. Dinosaurs are fucking awesome, though. They always are. They always have been.
So who's
been.
Your favorite?
They always will be. My favorite, I don't know. It's hard because they've had so many different incarnations over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I think back to Land Before Time being the definitive.
What a sad movie.
Oh, my God.
It's a devastating my movie God. For a child.
I remember being very sad. I don't remember anything that happened.
If you notice, kid movies don't they pull punches all the time. That's why we have such a weak generation now. Yeah, they should have all died at the end of Toy Story 3.
Pussies.
They should have all been melted into
none
a ball.
None of this is true.
And then we would have had kids who were tough.
They were then.
No, nothing. There's no like.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No,
Toy
I'm
Story
not.
3 is horribly sad.
Sure, and then it has a beautifully happy ending.
No, it doesn't.
There was no happy ending for Bambi.
It was not happy.
Oh my God, Bambi was brutal too.
The end is happy.
Mom's still dead though.
Yeah,
mom's still dead.
Yeah, the mom's still dead.
Yeah, mom's not coming back, Kevin. Mom, that
Bo Peep ain't coming back either.
No.
Damn, she got an off-screen kill too.
Like, how sad is that shit?
They're just like, oh, she's dead.
But isn't the whole plot of Land Before Time? You know, I used to watch that movie. It's about like these young dinosaurs, no fucking parents. Is that what it's about? Like,
no, they have parents.
Littlefoot's mom died.
Right, but he has the grandparents.
Right, that's right. He has grandparents. Yeah. Except for him being like very the rest sad of them, about
they
this.
They all have parents.
What's the dodo's name?
Except for your boy.
Not the dodo.
Spike. The Stegosaurus Spike.
Spike, yeah, Spike.
Spike don't got no parents.
Don't talk about Spike.
You don't talk about Spike.
You don't fuck with Spike?
I don't know.
Colin. Wait. You're going to fucking stand here and tell me that your favorite dinosaur is the Stegosaurus. You're going to tell me you don't fuck with Spike? I hate you so much, Kevin.
Yeah, Stegosaurus.
Spike wasn't this, though.
Wasn't he?
No, he was the
I'm glad we got
no,
him.
No, I don't think he was either.
Look up Spike.
And I enjoy that he used the mic for like to derail a show, and now that he's trying to be an active participant in it, he's like, nah, just yell off screen.
Not need it.
Nobody needs
anyway,
to
pick up every third word he says.
Nick, who's your favorite dinosaur?
Favorite dinosaur.
I like the one that used to be like this, not the mama.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, shit. No, yeah. Right. I was going to say Earl from that show, oh, Dinosaurs. Yeah.
That's your favorite dinosaur?
Yeah.
God, I love the ending of that show.
Yeah, they're all going to die. It's all Earl's fault.
I liked dinosaurs when I was a kid. And then I think right around the time they said they actually were covered in feathers, I was like, that's it. I'm done. Yeah. It's clear that no one knows a fucking thing about dinosaurs. If for the first 15 years of my life, we thought they were like giant lizards, and now we think they're giant birds, I'm done. Figure it out.
Does that check out? Are we saying that they're covered in feathers now? Is that check
well,
out?
Well, some of them do. I mean, the modern bird is the derivative of the dinosaur. So at some point, the scale must have turned to a feather. That's an accurate thing, right? At some point, evolutionarily, dinosaurs must have been covered in feathers.
Can we get the biology report from biologist Kevin Quella?
So it's a common misconception that like dinosaurs were hanging out together. Like the Stegosaurus was from 155 million and 150 million years ago.
Sure.
And the T-Rex was like 55. Like I just looked up numbers. And like,
okay. So there's like a dinosaur timeline.
Yeah. So like these dinosaurs.
So when I said the Tyrannosaurus Rex never fucked with the Stegosaurus, that was actually 100% correct.
Yeah. I stand corrected. Yeah.
Spike it's is in like fact a Stegosaurus.
Yeah, he is. What's
kind of like the Justice shit. Society before the Justice League?
I was blown away. I thought he was that other one that was smaller. The flat ones that are fat. Like,
why would
he
name
like
Spike? I haven't seen that movie in 25 years, so what the fuck do I know?
I don't know, man.
So when did you guys stop watching Land Before Time?
I don't think I ever started.
Early 90s. What? You never saw Land Before Time? Oh my God.
Because here's...
Yo, you were too busy watching Ghostbusters.
I wanted to go last just to remind you all that dinosaurs are whack and stupid. Like, don't get me wrong. I respect them. It'd be cool if I could look through like a portal into the olden times and see them. And like, that's fine. Jurassic Park.
It's not the olden times.
Jurassic Park, cool Marie movie. Antoinette, don't get me wrong.
And a fucking Triceratops.
Let them eat Triceratops. But yeah, like I mean, like when you buy the nobody's buying me fucking. Fucking toys of these dinosaurs, right? Unless it was that awesome one that was like the mech that its chest opened up and somebody crawled out of, I think, and then I had that guy. But overall, my dinosaur is just like, what a fucking generic bullshit toy. What a generic bullshit like thing to be into.
Did you ever have the dinosaur
toys? I'm into squirrels. That's like what it's saying. I'm into rats.
Did you ever have the dinosaur toys that were like really, really, really like tough, hard plastic? And they wouldn't move.
No points of articulation.
Yeah, no point. Yeah.
It looks like it was long neck, which had the weird rubber thing, but yeah. I don't think it meant
you
to.
You could kind of move their jaws.
Maybe a little bit. But I mean, like just by pinching them.
Exactly.
Those are like the worst.
And that's the thing. Here, I'm at the dollar store. Here's my 99 cent fucking Triceratops. Great. Awesome.
Inevitably, I always had one of those in my toy bin. And so it would wind up that Batman had to fight it.
Of course.
And it was just like,
well, dinosaurs.
That's actually a great point. Sense. My favorite dinosaur is the T-Rex in the Batcave because at least they tried to make him relevant.
Right, there you go.
Here's this fucking thing. You can hang out here.
I like dinosaurs because they've kept.
I fucking hate you.
Are you a big fan of Komodo dragons too, Tim?
They're pretty cool.
Chameleons, cool. Salamanders.
Yeah, they're pretty much they're the proof that dinosaurs are real. The Komodo dragon.
There's really not many people Joe. Argue that the dinosaurs aren't real.
Quite a few arguments. No,
young
man.
Earth creationists.
This is bullshit. Because yeah. Power Rangers had the dinosaurs.
Well,
there's
no,
the
I mean,
We're Back,
no,
a dinosaur
wait a second,
story.
Wait a second, wait a
Shout
second.
Shout out to fucking We're Back,
you can't
though.
Bring in. You can't bring in the Dragonzord and all this stuff and be like, that's a dinosaur.
No, I'm talking about the motherfucking
Voltronzor.
Yeah.
But was a dragon?
Are we talking about the things they morph into?
The Green Ranger, he came in, he's like, oh, what's cooler than dinosaurs? Dragons.
But I want to give a shout to that because I thought dragons were from Asian mythology with some of the fossils that they found. They didn't know what the fuck they were, right?
Oh, no, they found dragons.
I don't think that's the case. But it could be. It could be the case. But I think that's where that comes
from. So dragons aren't real confirmed.
No, dragons are just what I thought were they found dinosaur bones.
But there's the Komodo
dragon.
The Komodo dragon is...
We're not seeing no fucking Komodo T-Rexes and shit. I'm telling you, dinosaurs ain't real. Dragons, real.
Yeah, I don't think
Tim is a young Earth creationist.
I think he is. We have all...
You think the Earth's 10,000 years old.
I've been saying that for years.
You believe in flood geology?
No, here's the thing, man. I want nothing more than to believe in these goddamn dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are the homies. I'm a little bit offended. Very offended, actually, at this whole... You trying
but
to take
I mean,
a stance?
What do you mean that they're homies?
Cool?
I mean, like a dinosaur movie is going to be cool, or that it's
yeah,
just like
every single dinosaur no. movie ever I mean, like, made.
A Can Godzilla name, movie, sure.
Greg, they're the homies. Greg,
name a bad dinosaur movie because they don't
I mean,
exist.
I didn't see Land Before Time. So I said
Land Before
bad.
Time
Land
One,
Before Time's awesome, dude.
Fucking classic. Yeah. Land Before Time Two, pretty good.
Sure.
Land Before Time Three brought it fucking back. Brought it right. fucking back.
How about
not
Land
as good as
the
one?
Lost?
I'm gonna be real.
Land
Before Time Four, you lost me.
It
goes all the way to 13. I stopped eventually. We're back though. We're back. Brought it back. Oof, that was a more adult cartoon for the adult kids. You know what I mean, Colin?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Did you watch We're Back?
No, but I know what you mean about adult kids.
You would love We're Back.
I think they would actually enjoy it.
It's fucking great.
I'm sure.
Nick's
like
got something.
Shows.
Nick's got a dynamite dropping. Let him do it.
The first time I hung out over a holiday week with my future in-laws,
yeah,
we went to Blockbuster and I made them rent. The Will Ferrell version of The Land Before Time.
God, that was a bad call.
And
I
laughed so hard.
You're talking
and
about
my
Land
future
of Lost.
Father-in-law was like, Land of Lost, sorry, not, yeah, what did
Very
I say?
Different things. Land Before Time.
The Will Ferrell movie. Everyone else. And I thought it was the funniest fucking thing. And my family, my in-laws were like, this guy, there's something so wrong with this guy. But every time Chaka came on, I was just like, this guy fucking, whoever made this movie gets, Todd Phillips, I think it was, gets me. He gets me.
How hard is it for you to dial down the Nick when you're with the in-laws?
No, it doesn't matter.
Well,
because now my personality is on the internet, so like...
Oh, good point.
And actually,
but they probably think you're doing a character. They don't understand that this is the real Nick.
Oh, no, they
and the
it.
Nick they meet is the mask.
I've been drunk with them many times. Okay, okay. They see this. But also, my father-in-law is actually a huge fan of ours. He owns all of our shirts, and when he sees someone, he texts me every time he sees someone wearing one of our shirts.
Oh, so you got
he goes
three
up
texts?
And like, says what's up to him. Literally. At least.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
that's cool. Fun. That's awesome. Thanks for the support. In Los Scarpino.
Sure. Close.
D's dad.
Yeah.
That's bad. I mean, that's the way to do it.
D's dad.
Chaka. But yeah, dinosaurs are stupid.
All right. That's enough then. You'll go fuck yourselves.
You know what is stupid, though, is the long neck. Like, They need to
stop. The Brontosaurus? Is that what that is?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great point of why giraffes suck, too.
But the thing is, Land Before Time made them relevant. Like, they made you, you know, sympathize. They made you understand that things are hard for them.
No, these giraffes suck, too.
Giraffes are fucking awesome. You ever seen a fight?
Yeah, that's the literally the only redeeming thing about them. And they have black tongues. And I only know that because of giant blue black tongues.
How would I know? If it was like my, I'm watching a video of it looking at my asshole.
Yeah, you watched. Yeah, you had an iPhone set up.
It was black because I knew it from a... what's the camp show on Nickelodeon with Budnick? Why can't I come up with that right now?
Sleepy Shorts.
Yep. Yeah. They talked about it there. His black tongue. Ugg taught me that.
Ugg.
They're certainly dark.
What was the guy's name on Sleepy Shorts that you never saw?
Oh.
I think that was always Wilson? Over the loudspeaker. Not Wilson. You saw Wilson. That was in Home Improvement. You just never saw his face. But you saw his eyeballs and he's always doing something.
Al Bundy.
Al Bundy. Yep. Al Bundy is that guy.
Donkey Lips.
Donkey. Oh, my.
Dude,
early 90s, well, like 88 or 89 to 93, Nickelodeon was the best.
You weren't fucking with that, yeah.
Oh, my God. Welcome Back, Freshman. Finders Keepers. Hey, Dude.
Oh, Hey, Dude.
Oh, my. Hey, Dude fucking sucks.
Told you. Thank you, Ugg.
I've seen it. Have you guys ever, like, been near one and fed them?
A giraffe?
Yeah.
No. Were you in a skyscraper and it walked by?
No. Yes, I was. It was a four-story house. I just looked out and saw eyes and a big black tongue. I was like, this is my fantasy.
It was licking my asshole.
It was licking right up in my
undercarriage.
No, I went to up north. There's a park, a preserve that has a bunch of giraffes. And I told the guy, well, you should call this Jurassic Park. And the guy was like, no. And I was like, when your business fucking goes downhill, remember
that's
this
a brilliant
day.
Thing. And then ape the logo, but have it
yeah,
be
yeah, but have it be yeah. a giraffe. You can go up there, you feed them, and they just lick you. It's hilarious.
You guys
but
can
they're
go to
huge.
Giraffes are a little weird, though.
The zoo, yeah. right here, and feed them.
Can't feed
apples.
Them.
Yeah. You can't feed them at the zoo.
You can't. You
break
them.
In. Some kids tried to feed a tiger once. It jumped out and killed them.
They didn't
try.
Did
you see the footage of the woman get out of the car in China at some tiger preserve and get dragged away by a tiger and killed?
No. Jesus.
I was like, this is fucking nuts. Then you see the guy get out of the car and he's like, he doesn't know what to do. And
there's just tiger on the streets?
No, they were in one of those. Like, you're in the nature preserve or whatever. Don't leave your car. And these people parked for some reason, and she got out and walked over to the driver's
Evolution
side.
Evolution spoke.
And, like, opened up and, like, started talking to the guy. And then just out of fucking the side of the frame, just this tiger grabs her and fucking yanks her right away.
Holy shit.
Was it a real tiger? Or was it,
no,
like,
it was real.
Me
was
wearing a tiger outfit?
No, this is 100% real. It was kind of scary,
actually. No, it's terrifying, yeah.
But it's
also, like, why would you get out of your car?
Yeah, you must have
not
a dumb brain. We don't want
you procreating. I don't put myself in that situation to begin with. I wouldn't go into that place.
Yeah. It's like swimming with sharks. It's like, why? Why are you even doing that?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Would you go to Jurassic Park if Jurassic Park came back?
No.
Oh, I would.
Yeah, I think that'd be one I'd be like, yeah, I probably should do this.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, so then dinosaurs are cool.
Yeah, if they were real,
bandwagon,
sure.
Son of
it's
a kind bitch. Of
like how Greg doesn't like sci-fi unless he likes sci-fi.
Exactly.
It's the same kind of thing. You know,
it's exactly
sci-fi
the same thing.
Sci-fi is so bad. I love
Jurassic. I don't mind the dinosaurs interacting with us and doing things. But sitting here, I'm like, oh, I'm little Tim, and I got my book open, and I got my legs. I'm laying on my stomach, legs up in the air. I'm kicking them around, reading this fucking picture pages book.
Uh-huh.
About like, oh man, this dinosaur had a really long neck, and this dinosaur had a scaly back, and this tell me a story about them.
I lied. I would go to Jurassic Park.
If
I could do the thing they do in Jurassic World, where like you ride a little mini Triceratops. Remember that in the petting zoo area? That's what I want to ride.
Jurassic World is the fourth one.
Yeah.
I never saw what. What is the rationale that they're gonna do this again?
It's a whole
big corporation. Yeah, big corporation buys it.
They've already been doing it too for a while.
So it's all been working.
Oh, fine. The park's huge. It's doing well.
The first Jurassic Park is so good.
Yeah.
This one's actually so really good too.
I wish they just leave it alone.
Believe it or not, it's actually better than you think.
I remember seeing
it again.
I'm
like, this is entertaining.
It was entertaining. I don't think it's really good.
It was entertaining.
I think
it's entertaining.
It's really good. It's not great.
It's good.
I think people were surprised that it was good.
Agreed. Right? 100%.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the third one in high school in a movie theater with a little claw mark for the three.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Jesus.
They had a dope pterodactyl.
Return
scene,
to form,
though.
Yeah.
I never answered my favorite. I think I'm going to go with pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl, yeah, that's a good one. That's
pretty
good
sick.
Yeah. I like, my favorite pterodactyl, the one on Pee-wee's Playhouse. I forget its name.
Terry.
Yeah. Terry was hot. Not like hot, like I wanted to fuck Terry. Maybe I would have, but I'm just got it. Yeah. You know, back then I wasn't. It wasn't all working.
Bestiality going for you.
No.
To lick your asshole.
Now for the he said that.
You want to double team a fucking pterodactyl?
Are you in this with me now?
They're just. I mean, you and I were like wobbly age. This.
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say, and it can be a topic for another day if you want. Is it bestiality If it's dead, it's a sentient thing and it's talking to me. Like Terry talked and like you had conversations with her.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you're still having sex with a beast, so probably the courts might decide it. But I mean, I know beasts.
But like, they can put Terry on the stand,
and Terry can be like, "I wanted him inside me. I wanted to be the middle part in the wobbly age."
What again? Are you with me on this?
We're all double teaming Terry.
We're all double teaming.
We're gonna train on Terry.
That's enough.
Yikes.
Nick, you're in rare form today. What's your topic?
Jetpacks.
it's like a 7-year-old's like Game of Thrones dinosaurs and jetpacks.
Jetpacks. So I saw this story.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, it's jetpacks. I saw this story like a half a month ago and I was like, oh holy shit, I want one of these. Golfer named Bubba Watson. Are you guys all familiar with him?
No, but I like words. I like the name.
Is part of this is helping to prototype this. It's made by Oakley.
The fuck?
It is a portable jetpack golf cart.
Do we have videos of it?
Oh yeah.
Do you want to read the article so everybody gets broader speed? Then we can watch the video. Kevin can do the thing like when the girl blew the grapefruit.
Can you guys watch it muted?
Sure. The humble golf cart is now very sleek. Is not very slick, but it gets the job done. So is there a better way to get from tee to green? In 2013, pro golfer Bubba Watson, along with Oakley and Neoteric Hovercraft, posted that question with the golf cart Hovercraft, which is also awesome, but that's not what we're talking about.
What?
That's a golf cart Hovercraft that they made first.
Oh,
now, with the help of Martin Aircraft, the team has taken to the skies with the golf cart jetpack. Okay. Based on Martin's current pre-production prototypes, the golf cart jetpack can fly as high as 3,000 feet.
What the fuck?
And as fast as 46 miles per hour, thanks to a 210 horsepower engine powering two duct fans. So basically, it's a standard Martin jetpack with some extra space for clubs and sand bottles. As fun as it would be to get a bird's eye view of the course and watch your golf buddies shoot from on high, practical considerations must keep this concept on the ground. Bubba insists the jetpack will speed up play, but in the time it takes to strap it, fly it down the fairway, land and take your shots, your friends who can't join you in the single pilot craft could well be holes ahead of you. Yada, yada, yada. Basically, the long and short of this is they're prototyping this. He's kind of the figurehead for it. Each one of them costs $200,000.
Okay.
Which might Patreon sound steep until you see this damn thing in action.
All right.
It's muted.
It's okay, bud. We like you looking out for the show. Thank you. Here we go. And Kevin's gonna put this in here, so it's down here somewhere.
Go suck a dick, regular golf cart.
Why does it need to go? Why does it need to go to 3,000 feet?
That's
though?
So awesome that it goes 3,000 feet.
Because you're gonna break the switch and just keep going. Bubba, you don't need to go 3,000 feet
Bubba,
in the air.
Bubba has a pink driver, but he can do whatever the hell he wants.
That's true.
So he's talking here. There you go. Now, I should also say you need a pilot's license for this, and you have to get trained on it.
Naturally.
Because it is actually like, it's a space vehicle. A space vehicle.
Space.
It is
it's
a
an
space
actual plane,
vehicle,
so
yes.
he has to be able to have this. So he's the only person that could pilot it right now. It's pilot Mike Reed. Bubba can't actually pilot yet, but he's taking courses, apparently.
This is dope as fuck.
Isn't that amazing?
I just want it.
So pretty much, as just drone technology got to the point where they're like, all right, when we were little kids, we dreamt of being able to fly things and that actually be cool. Now we hit that point, and they're like, what if we put ourselves on that thing?
I mean, that's my question to you guys is looking at this, and then not obviously for long rides, but like to get around San Francisco,
100%.
Would you get one of these?
100%. I mean, like the problem is that once it became, we'd have the same congestion in the air, and then I'd be worried about other jetpack riders. Now Kevin's shaking his head.
Well, you have, you just put that chip that you have in cars that like auto steers for you. So like it'll ping theirs and then it pings you and you guys stay away from each other.
Okay. That's
fine. Of course, granted, if your car breaks down, you're not going to fall from 3,000 feet.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would never get up to 3,000
feet. But you don't
have
to go that high either. Yeah. You go like 15 feet above the air, 20, just above the cars.
Well, even above the cars, there's so many wires across the streets in San Francisco.
You
got to
go
above
30, 40 feet then.
And then you're so close to the face of God, why not reach out and touch it?
Exactly.
Just get as high as you can. Drink a bit, get a little higher.
Dude, 3,000 feet
is high.
Is twice as high as the Freedom Tower
but
in New
look
York City.
How fucking cool.
That's how
that is.
High you can go in that thing.
Yeah,
why
cool.
would you ever go that high?
I would be fine with it because I would be
I
like, okay,
that.
Here's the deal.
Fantastic.
Go that high, make people go that high, and then if a malfunction happens, everything has parachutes. You just kind of strap off parachute. It parachutes. You're good. It's fine.
It parachutes. The fiery wreckage.
Why is it fiery? Did a missile hit it?
I mean, how else is it going to break? One of the turbines goes down. The turbine
just goes down and you go in a circle over and over all the way down to the ground. It's like a helicopter.
So what I'm really intrigued by this. So why are they like golf carts? That's the one place that we have all the fucking room in the world to drive around. We already have a vehicle made just for this.
Mm-hmm. You want to know why? Inconspicuous. Mm-hmm. This seems like a luxury item for old rich white guys. Clearly the military's behind this. Clearly this has got nefarious purposes. And they're like, we'll just put it there and we'll put a guy named fucking Bubba in it. And everybody's gonna be like, what a cute thing. Oh, next thing you know, fucking Vita and the secret police here. Lola coming in. They're getting here. They're coming in jetpacks.
Yeah, man, that sounds... Cause
oh, no!
I feel like this is a huge step forward for jetpacks, because the last we saw of jetpack was Rocketeer. the water jetpack.
Oh, those are sweet.
Is that even count as a jetpack?
I don't know. It's gotten some real good videos.
No, the jet.
Kevin, can you find me that video?
The water jetpack thingamajig is fine.
I mean, I don't think that's an actual jetpack that doesn't use jets, right? Yeah, those are turbines, right?
What you were saying? The first version was called a
hovercraft.
So it wasn't the same version as this. So here's a picture of that.
Golf so cart jetpack.
That's the
like a land speeder.
So it is, but it can go over water, it can go over sand dunes, things
we
like that.
So
it doesn't
have.
So the virtue of this, of course, is that the golf cart obviously can only do so much. Can't go over water, can't go over sand really well, because it just goes up and then goes, and then it starts falling down.
Hover packs of wood on water.
The only cool thing about the golf cart is that you can reenact the scene from Navy SEALs where they're playing polo in the golf carts, really drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that scene?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Seminal.
Yeah.
Golf cart jetpack gives new meaning to a birdie.
Yep.
It's well done.
I have to imagine that, you know, Oakley is just kind of like throwing some money toward this because it's a fun sort of R&D project that they probably won't ever realize. But I don't know. Maybe they're going to try to go to consumer with this.
It's like every other technology. It'll get smaller, simpler.
I think so. Yeah. But I mean,
I'm pretty impressed by how small and simple looking it is.
Have you actually ever heard a jetpack? Like seen anyone land on a jetpack?
No.
So I think it was 5 or 6 years ago. Real jetpack. Yeah, they're real things.
They're loud as fuck.
They're so fucking loud.
Kevin wanted it muted, remember? And now he's getting it. Now how Paul is doing it. So now it's a camera. Worst.
Just what at least we got a 3 second.
I think it was like maybe 6-7 years ago at E3. I think I went to an event where they had someone land, like a stormtrooper land a jetpack, and it was so fucking loud that like you couldn't hear anything. It was ridiculous.
What's going on? This guy's jetpacking by the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm.
But like that's a jetpack. It's a little nice.
Yeah, that's a jetpack.
Shoots fucking jets of hot
so
air.
Is it, yeah, so is it fire? So what's the water jetpack?
That shoots water.
Yes.
You know, I understand that, but is that a jetpack by definition?
No.
I mean, it might be using water jets.
Maybe water. You're right. I'm not. No.
I mean, it's kind of terrifying so to see funny. this jetpack man fly past the Statue of Liberty.
Has no one dressed as Boba Fett yet and done one of these?
That's all I do. I swear one out of every three of them, they're in a Boba Fett.
I was thinking those little personal pods the Cobras used to have.
Oh, of course, from the G.I. Joe movie.
That reminds me of the G.I. Joe movie opening. It's jetpacking up the
Crimson Guard. For freedom, wherever there's trouble.
The water ones are great, because there's this video we were watching recently of this guy, a newscaster. When things are on the news, you know it's about to be bad. He's like, we're here and we're talking about the new water jetpacks. Come see what it's all about next. He takes off and goes right into the water. It's just like,
why do they air this shit when there's always this embarrassing shit happens?
It's
like the woman, the classic footage of the woman stomping grapes.
Yeah,
and falls. It's like, why is this on TV?
It's too late. They do all the live stand-ups.
That was like
man.
pre YouTube too. That one was making the rounds.
Yeah.
That was like E-Bomb's world.
So what do we think the future of jetpacks are, Nick?
I'm usually a late adopter, and I think I probably would be for this as well.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd get the first one off the production line by any stretch of the imagination. But for city living, if you could land on the top of buildings,
sure,
that'd be pretty cool. I mean, it would definitely solve. Look at your parking would be the entire city.
Well, are we looking at the wet jet guy? That's awesome.
Like, God bless people that are like, that's awesome. I got to get that on the internet ASAP.
Yeah, I know. The people who are just watching their local news and they're just like ready to capture anything or put it up or record it and get it out. Love it.
Oh, my God.
Love it. Jets Big Cav Dog.
The local news. The local news is kind of an absurd thing.
It sucks. I hate the local news. It's kind of weird.
Where they try to make this like local, make like a culture. Kevin and I were driving the other day and they were introducing the new local newscaster for K-Ron or Kron or whatever the hell.
Kron 4.
And they're like, he's a San Francisco native. He grew up here. And then they cut to a soundbite of him. He's like, I grew up right there. And then it cuts back and it's like, I'm like, this is, what is the point of this? Are we trying
to? So you know him. So you feel like a local. One of your boys is made and he knows the city he's going to report on.
Who the fuck is watching the local news? Like,
someone is, because I watch the local news every once in a while when it's just on and I'm like, inevitably in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to laugh at some point. Like, because it's so bad. Like, I don't give a fuck about anything you're saying. Nothing that you're saying is relevant to me.
Big Kev Dog's got to drop in.
Big Kev Dog.
So I recently lost CNN. Like, I no longer have CNN, the channel.
Okay.
So this morning I was watching local news, and it sucks. But it was...
Why don't you watch it in the morning? Why don't you watch... MSNBC's pretty good in the morning. Morning Joe.
What channel is that? I don't have any of those higher...
787?
I don't have any of those higher.
How do you not have...
Because I just
CNN,
switched,
isn't that a basic cable?
I switched plans because like, it was way cheaper, and I now have like double the speed, but I lose like the higher end.
You can read
it doesn't matter.
Online.
But... that commercial was on and he was pointing at his house from his like childhood.
I'm like, we believe you and we don't care. We don't care if you grew up here or not.
First of all,
we
can't substantiate this anyway.
Yeah, but it's not it's not in any way, shape, or form relevant at all that you are a local, that you grew up here.
I'm
really
saying,
but
on
again,
the radio,
it's a local boy made good. You don't understand. Like, you know, it's a cutthroat world. Being a TV reporter, you start in the smaller markets. So to get to a market like San Francisco, get to be an anchor on it. I don't know exactly who you're talking about. There's a lot of steps, let alone to come back to where you're from. A lot of people are transplants. They go there and they just start reporting on wherever they get the job.
Mm-hmm. Would it surprise you to know that I used to watch the Weather Channel for fun?
Not even a little bit.
In the late 80s and early 90s, nope. I really enjoyed the Weather Channel a lot. Yeah. Tell me a lot about geography.
See, and I don't. Well, my question for the local news is that. I guess you're talking about San Francisco. Like, I grew up watching the local news in Chicago. Fox 32, Walter Jacobson, Robin Robinson.
Yeah,
what
but
up?
That's because you
Bob
wanted
Sirott,
to do
Marianne
shit like that.
Marciano in the morning. Fuck
you,
yeah,
you had
Fox thing in the morning.
Interest for me, I could never understand that because you watch the shit and you're like, who is the audience for this? And then I remember it's all these people just want to feel good about talking about something, so they're like, I'm going to report on a story. This is what's going to get me to a real story. Because when I went to college at SF State for video production stuff, I was one of the few people there that's not trying to be a news anchor. Which is kind of ironic for what I ended up doing. Not that this is news.
We're delivering the news right now.
I'm the one, I'm on camera doing this type of stuff. All those other motherfuckers, there's maybe like two of them that made it, and they're covering news in like
Poughkeepsie.
Weird, like Marin County, like cities that I've never even heard of, and like they're calling it San Francisco local news, and it's like, that's not at all. And so I'm like, they can't even point at their house and say I grew up there. They have to stand there and be like, I grew up across
the Bay Area.
Yeah,
I'm a
Bay
Area native.
Oh my god! And like, every time they post stuff on Facebook, I'm just looking at this shit, and I'm just like, "This is what you're doing with your life. You're standing out there talking about how this local bicycle shop is going to help people."
That's not bad, though. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. It's not like breaking news, but there's people who care about that and want to know about the local
business. It's more entertainment, though. Wouldn't you say?
Sure, but it's a window into your local community.
Sure. I mean, that's true. My wife reads the Marina Times or whatever. It's some sort of like local paper that's just about our neighborhood. Oh, and she loves reading it because it actually
college
informs
still
you
popped.
Onto like what shops are closing, what shops are coming in, and you know, spoilers.
This yoga shop
actually,
closed. This yoga shop opened.
Yeah, exactly. Well, most of the only shops that can actually afford to be here is Nike and like, you know,
sure,
the big conglomerates. But I get that. But I just think it's like that whole thing is just such a relic of a bygone era, right?
100%.
Where they all dress in the suits and they have the makeup on, and then when it's more of a casual thing, they just take the blazer off and maybe roll up the sleeves.
Sure.
Still have the tie though, because you still have to have an air of professionalism, right? And they talk in that voice. Tell me about this thing that you're talking to me about. That sounds great. Back to you, Jan. And then there's always the fucking 3-second delay.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Yeah, that shit's awkward as hell.
But I'll tell you what, man, you get attached to these people, especially in your local market. And then when you get to see them national, my boy Lester Holt, you talk to Chicago's own Lester Holt, who talked to dad down on the crane site. Oh, that was a big day. Let me, if I'm lying, I'm dying.
Says the person who Big has Greg probably
Big Greg Miller comes
80
home.
Times the social follower. You're probably 80 times more more popular than.
But it's not a popularity thing. You trusted Lester Holt, and he had this bomb ass mustache. You would have loved it forever.
You can get a good mustache.
Then he shaved it though. He had like the Viltrumite like mustache.
Oh, really?
Then he shaved it when he went national with MSNBC.
Lester Holt, yeah, Lester Holt was the dude. I will tell you two things. Number one, we have a weatherman in New York who goes by the name only of Mr. G.
That's awesome.
And you can look up. So it's like Kevin, you know, Kevin O'Neill, blah, blah, blah. And Mr. G with the weather. And he's like, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I've been asking that question for 25 years. On Long Island, we have a thing called News 12. Channel 12 is just this channel, ubiquitous channel on Long Island. It's just 24 hours Long Island news. It's local news for 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And if you want to just lose your mind, just tune in, because my dad doesn't have cable anymore. He only gets like, you know, like NBC and ABC, and he gets News 12. And I just sat there and watched it for like 15 minutes. I'm like, I can't believe that this channel still exists. And they just are like, over in Syosset, geese are flying from Canada to the. I'm like, and then like 20 minutes later, they're on the same story. I'm like, this is fucking this is awful. This is the worst thing I've ever seen in my goddamn life. The only reason News 12 was relevant for one reason.
Mm-hmm. Snow days.
School closures. Exactly. You go to the fucking News 12 and you got the little school closure kind of thing going on.
That was the best lottery in the world. To wake up and it's been snowing out and you go to Fox thing in the morning and you look at the little ticker and you're just waiting.
We don't get that shit out here.
Nope.
The only time school was closed was 9/11, and that you didn't need local shit for. And that was clear.
Dude, the worst thing is, I guess you guys can't relate. The worst thing was it would be like, you know, I was in South Country School District. So it would be like, when you get to there to the end, it would be like, you know, this school closed, this school closed, this school closed. They're like, South Country School District, 2-hour delay.
Yep,
closed, this school. I'm like, fuck. it was like the worst thing. You were like waiting. It was that's so funny that feeling.
I remember it was a big deal when our school finally got big enough to make it on there, because you know we were private schools forever, so a lot of times they didn't even fucking know. We had phone trees. That was another big way. Yeah. I remember the preemptive phone tree once we were at basketball practice and we heard rumors that the phone tree had started because
a phone tree?
You like one person or two people, like five people start calling, five people will call, five people will call, five people to let them all know.
Yeah, your family's like, when my family gets called by mom Y or whatever, we then call three other families to inform them that way. And spread it that way. That's how you had to do it back.
Okay.
But there was one basketball practice where they were like, it's going to be too cold tomorrow. They're closing school. And we're like, what? And then you went home and the phone tree had started. You're like, yes, this is awesome.
Oh, that brings back such a nostalgic feelings for me. Like sometimes you wouldn't go to school for days at a time or a week at a time because it was getting hammered with snow, especially when I lived in New England. And it was the only thing that was different was Northeastern. They never canceled classes because we had an underground tunnel system that they strategically built so you never had to like leave. Like, you know, as long as you're on one side of the campus, you get all the classroom buildings and stuff like that. And I was like, you motherfuckers. Everyone else was like, oh, no, because we just get hammered and snow up there.
Yeah.
But also, their expectation is snow a little different up there, as well as you guys learned at PAX.
Yeah, ridiculous. A lot of pride in a cold environment of Chicago, of Boston, of like, we're going to get through this. It's not that cold. Dad's out there shoveling 6 feet of snow on this acre-long driveway. Do you want to use a snowblower? No, it's not that bad. All right. You're going to die out there, Dad.
Yeah, it's negative 10. Your dick shrivels up into a little eggcorn, trying to walk just to the car.
It's terrible.
Heat it up. Mm-hmm. Hopefully,
sit there and heat it up for 15, 30 minutes. Can't start that thing. That was always the Ford Taurus.
Why are we living in these places?
Poe made fun of it. He made a reference to it. Because it was in the Chicago days, he'd come to my house to carpool in school or whatever. We'd get in there, and I always made a joke that it was like Apollo 13, where I didn't have enough amps, but if I turned on things in the right order, it would be okay. So you'd get in there, you'd turn the car on. You then could turn on the heater to get it going. Or no, I'm sorry. You could turn the car on. You could turn on the radio, and then you could turn on the heater. If you turn on the car and you went the heater, and then you went the radio, it just killed the car.
Mm.
So you just and then you sat there. You just sat there. Let this fucking thing heat up while you're doing this. You're doing a lot of this. Maybe making out with POTUS.
This makes no sense.
To me. But the way he just explained it, I didn't realize you were talking about heating up the car. I thought you were still talking about your acorn dick.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, my acorn dick's gone. It's lost.
You got to get to the car to heat it up, and I'm like, huh. Like, man, Colin was thinking about the dick. Like, he's just like, I gotta get that thing.
Well, let's be honest. If your dick is properly heated, chances are the rest of your body is properly heated, right? That no situation you can think of where your dick is hot and the rest of you is ice cold. So honestly, if you worry about the tip of your dick, you're probably
thinking the right way.
It's like in Batman Begins when he says, "Don't worry about your arms, worry about your dick. The rest of your body will warm up."
He goes, "I don't have to save you."
My body was still kind of fucking burning.
This is gonna be very nostalgic. It reminds me of my dad had. He still has it. This Vermont wood stove. These iron stoves that you get hand casted. They're really expensive. You drive to like Burlington and bring them down. You have to have like 17 people put it in the back of your fucking truck. And he would use it. He would buy a bunch of wood, cords of wood, and like use that instead of like my dad like wouldn't use the heat. It was tell the story in a minute. Because we had a thermostat, which is like you had to have. There was a strategy about using it so my dad would never know until he got the oil bill. But you would risk it anyway. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. But he'd put this thing in, and it was in the center of the house. So like it would proliferate around the house pretty nicely. But if you were in the living room, it is so hot in there. I was like, you'd sit there and watch TV. You're like sweating. You're like your underwear, but you look outside, it's like 0 degrees out. But my dad, we used to have this like fucking scheme going on, me and my sister, and then me later when I was by myself after she went to college, where my dad never like hated using the heat. You could never put the heat above 62 or something like that. And it was like a little thing you turned or whatever. And so we would do it and put it on like 70 or 75. And then when you would hear the garage door open when you come home and you'd run downstairs. But if you had your music on or like you weren't home or you forgot, oh, dude, it was over. And he would walk in as a family guy, kids around about.
Who's that the thermostat? Yeah,
and you'd come in and you'd be like, go right to the thermostat and be like on 62 or whatever. And he'd be like, it's definitely like 70 degrees in here right now. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We did the same thing growing up in SoCal, but with air conditioning. And air conditioning was really expensive because my parents had... we had a two-story house and the air conditioner, two-story house.
Like, so you had that machine like the outside?
Yeah, the outside thing, it would pipe in air. And it wasn't until recently that my parents got a smart air conditioner that had two different zones. So you could, if you're upstairs predominantly, it would shut off the downstairs one and vice versa. But my brother and I would literally, my mom was always the worst because she would swear to God that it's freezing in the house. And it is, I mean, it's like 95 degrees and she is like, it's cold. And I'm like, you don't even believe that. You're fucking lying to me right now. So my brother and I would always, when they'd go out of town, it would be a fucking ice box in that place. Like you could see your breath in front of you. And then we would go outside, party, and just leave it on. And my mom would come back and it'd be like a $700 bill. And we're like, we don't know what happened.
Don't know why you're trying to raise your family
Can't
here.
Can't prove it was us. The snow days I don't know about, but the smog alerts we used to have a lot. So we'd have.
I don't know what a smog alert is.
Growing up in Southern California.
I mean, I know what smog is.
We'd have smog alerts. Because the smog would be too thick, and so you wouldn't be allowed to go outside. And
really,
play. Mm-hmm. You would have to just sit. You weren't allowed to like run around because apparently it was supposed to be bad for your lungs. That's where I grew up. But you would see it. I mean, you'd look outside and try to take bets on whether or not they were going to. No one fucking cared. We all did it anyway. But well, not me because I was fat. But the people who actually liked physical exertion would go out there and do it. I'd be like, dope, whatever.
This hasn't changed my plans one way or the other.
Not an excuse to just stay inside.
This is what I was going to do.
I'm like, is this going to rot the Twinkie in my hand? And then fuck it. Right. But that's interesting. But I would still gladly, I still just for the life of me don't understand why people willingly choose to live in the snow. It doesn't make any sense. It's God's way of telling you don't live here.
It's the same way of the heat,
stay away from here. That's
like
true.
People
too.
In Phoenix, you're like, what the hell's wrong with you? What are you doing?
That's, I know. It's dumb. We should all be living probably in a much more habitable environment.
San Francisco.
Probably
San Francisco
yeah.
does have the most like, that's the weather. So this is awesome. What you're going to get. So don't worry awesome. About it. It's not going to fluctuate too much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if there was anything that schools would stop for?
Earthquake day.
No, earthquakes would happen.
Rice-a-roni day.
And we're just kind of here.
Do you remember like the earthquake drills? Where it's and you're like, all right, that was the thing go in school. Under the desk.
They had to teach us like, everyone has fire drills.
Yeah.
They would do earthquake drills like once a month where everyone had to get under a desk or in between the door things. Mm-hmm. And it was just so disruptive.
Ours were tornado drills.
Mm.
Yeah. Go out of your classroom, get in front of your locker and then get down in a ball and cover your head. Kiss your ass goodbye. It's fucking over if a tornado rolls.
Do you have to like lasso yourself to a pipe?
No,
like,
that's like what I always thought. I thought there was so many, you know, easier ways to do
this.
You should
have safety latches. You guys just like latch on like they do when you're out in space.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly,
I mean? You're like
exactly.
working on
yeah,
the
yeah,
latch
you're
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, all that's bullshit. You know that, right? Like,
oh, absolutely.
They were like, going. They don't. I don't think they even teach kids to do that anymore.
Here's the thing:
the doorway thing this is like IKEA the stupidest
table,
thing on the planet.
This table. Not. You think this is going to fucking save us from an earthquake? I guarantee you, the shit at Sutro Elementary School ain't helping anybody. Nope. Those little pieces of flimsy ass plastic. Get out of here. Yeah, right.
Just to make you feel better. It's like the our parents used to tell the story about the nuclear drills, where it's like, get on your desk. It's like, are you fucking nuts? It's a goddamn sun exploding outside. I think we're dead.
Yeah, I think we're
dead. It doesn't matter if we're hiding underneath.
Yeah, you're asking by. Supposedly, and this could be old as well because I think I heard about 5-6 years ago, but supposedly the best thing to do is to get near something that's strong.
What are we talking about now?
Earthquakes.
Thank you.
So that when, because I guess they looked at a bunch of buildings that had collapsed and they noticed triangles constantly. So like when the roof top collapses, it hits and then it'll get stuck on something that's strong and it'll make a triangle. And if you're right here, if you're in the middle of it, you can actually survive. So they say get close to your bed because a mattress can actually take a fair load of weight and still teeter. I mean, you're still stuck in this small area, which you're going to live.
Well,
but don't get near your fucking shit. Like, you're just going to get jammed finger if you go into your door.
Yeah, the tornadoes, if you're at home and it's fucking bearing down and you deal, you're supposed to grab the mattress and go lay in the bathtub.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Use the mattress.
What if you have a king size?
Use the mattress to cover. Yeah, well.
That's smart, though.
Yeah. Because
then you're not getting hit by glass.
There was only one where my mom was like, go get in the bathtub. This might be the one. I was like, god damn it. Damn. Walk over there. Yeah, take the cat.
Terrifying.
Get in the bathtub. Oh, yeah. But dude, tornadoes were terrifying.
Get your Dixie cups and you dumped your drawer full of action figures into the bath.
I remember when we were, I was talking to you earlier on one of the shows about like when my parents like obsessed with going out to the country for whatever. And there's always a tornado. There's always some severe weather, whatever. It all comes during the summer. So we would do that thing where, like, you know, I did a day camp or whatever, right, where, you know, arts and crafts, and you go to the pool every day. It was mainly, like, a supervised thing to the pool every day. But, like, they all right, I'm going to this water park. All right, cool. And you go. And I remember this fucking tornado warning comes in. And it's, like, in the burbs of Glen Ellyn. You know, I'm growing up here. The burbs of Chicago and Glen Ellyn.
Unincorporated
Glen Ellyn. But I would be downtown Glen Ellyn for the day camp, right? When the tornado siren goes off, it's, like, cool. It's too populated. A tornado's not going to roll through here. Like, we're going to be okay. It's just going to be really bad weather, really bad thunderstorm, hail, whatever. You know what I mean? But when you're out in, like, hey, we built a water park in the middle of fucking nowhere, that's a real tornado situation. That's a real thing that's going to get you. And I remember having it, if that one, when the sirens go off and, like, the adults really freaking out of, like, getting you into the locker room and having you fucking go into the little ball in front of these lockers. Kids just fucking sobbing.
God, that's...
Everybody's going to die.
Yeah, that sounds scary as all
and
shit.
And then it doesn't happen. Y'all just get on a bus and go back. You're all like war vets. Like, you've seen someone shit out there.
I would just sit in the water and then let the thing suck the water away from me and I'm just bone dry. You know what I mean?
Were you ever in an earthquake? Like a real earthquake? Not one of the little tiny ones?
No, I don't remember there ever being one that big. I'm sure there was. But when you grow up and... Southern California, it just doesn't. You just feel earthquakes all the time.
They're like, just like the little tiny things. Yeah, it's like, all right, care. That was the thing.
There
like,
was an earthquake, right?
I mean, I was here obviously for the '89 earthquake, which was crazy, but I was a baby, so I don't remember. My mom acts like it was the scariest thing of all fucking time.
It was pretty big,
but
your house, like when you moved out, still had the cracks on.
Yeah, my house was like devastated by that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But growing up, I experienced the little ones forever, but then when I was like 14, maybe, there was a fairly big one, and I'll never forget, I was in my garage, and all of a sudden, like, it was me and my brother, we were just like playing with our fucking skateboards or whatever, and I just hear noise. I'm like, that sounds like giant dominoes falling. He's like, yeah, it does, it's really weird. And all of a sudden, the noise hit us and everything was shaking. I'm like, holy shit, like, this is like a fucking scary movie. Like, we're gonna fucking die right
now.
That's
freaky.
It was really, really scary. We ran into the middle of the street.
That's what,
because that felt safest.
Yep. I agree with that. People are always like, oh no, you wanna get,
well, because of the power lines.
Yeah, you got
the, there's a lot of power lines around.
I'm running into the backyard. That's fine. But the first time I felt an earthquake was like a 5.1 or something when I first moved here in 2000. So not a big one. I mean, you feel it. But I never felt an earthquake before, and I lived in Daly City, and I was like in my underwear in my bed, like playing a game, or I don't know what I was doing, and I like ran up and out into the street like my underwear, and then I realized, like, without even thinking, like, I gotta get out of this house. And then there I was just like sitting there. Out. Yeah, and I'm like, just no one's around. It was like, you
I'm
know,
locked
I
out.
Lived in the hills of Daly. Earthquakes are creepy. I think I've said this before. I wonder sometimes. I just sit, you know, at tranquil moments in time. And I'm like, it could happen right now.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Like, just right we're now, doing no another warning. Big one. There's nothing you can do about it. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. The city is going to fall into the fucking Pacific Ocean one day.
Well, see, that was the scary weird thing. You know, they do talk about, like, trying to make the kids feel safe. They also terrify the goddamn kids. Like, you that sounds like a traumatic experience.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And I get that that's trying to protect you or whatever, so that's cool. But, so I went to middle school in the Marina, Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's a bad spot.
All the time, they're like, if an earthquake happens, we're gone. It's good. We're just gone. We're going to sink into the ocean and we're all going to be gone. And it's like, don't tell me that. Just let it happen.
Hey, they the marina, right?
The marina is supposed to be legit awful for an earthquake, though, because it's because of the sand, the liquefaction of the sand there and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Yeah, and it's built on top of the rubble of the 1906 earthquake, which was a bad earthquake. But so I've heard the same thing that like the marina is finished if there's like a really bad earthquake.
Yeah.
I'm like, good, because I'm there all the time now. So I'm
well,
like,
technically, I think that would be you're in Cow Hollow.
Really?
Because I think anything north or south, rather, of Lombard is Cow Hollow.
Oh, okay.
The marina starts at Lombard and goes. I think that's all. Technically,
it's going to break off at Lombard and float away.
Cool. That's
I think we're all on Lex bedrock, Luka's but I could be wrong. Don't quote
me. That'd be great. Yeah, because that's been as long. I mean, when we used to go to the comic club and stuff, people used to talk about, oh, yeah, the marina.
Yeah, that's you know, that's fucked Cow if there's Hollow, an earthquake. Actually. But still, I mean, I don't know. I don't really have any.
But they do say, Kev, you probably know about this. I don't know that the there's two kinds of or there's multiple kinds of earthquakes, but they were saying that there's only an upper limit that they think that an earthquake in San Francisco could have in like the sevens. They were saying like it can't get much worse than that. But they were because it's either like the subduction. I don't know what I don't know the terminology. The one earthquake where one goes on top of the other and the other where they slip, like they get stuck and they slip. Whatever one is like weakest or like they can predict is the one that's up here. And they're saying in Southern California, that's where everything's going to get fucked up. They were like, I was reading about that recently because there's a lot of interesting stuff about, well, two things. One, in Washington and Seattle, they say they're fucked up there because there's a massive, remember this story made the rounds? Like it was like, it was in the New Yorker or something like that a long time ago where they were like, no one's paying attention that there's like terrible shit going on in the Northwest. And that's like where there's going to be like an awful earthquake. And they were saying it was along some corridor.
Yeah. So I heard it was San Andreas' fault.
They're saying like everything east or no everything west of this corridor, this highway, they're like it's fucked. Like and it was a fascinating thing where they were saying they traced this major earthquake that happened there like 1,000 years ago to this huge tsunami that happened in Japan, and like and they were talking about the investigators that figured out that it was the earthquake there that caused this massive tsunami, and then they did all this like back this calculation about how bad it was and like how the earth like dropped and shit like that, like at that point. And the second one is in I think it's in Yellowstone, right? Or it's
there's one in southern Illinois that's really bad too.
They're saying there's a mega volcano in one of the national parks, and they're like, if this bad boy goes
off, the fuck's a mega volcano?
Basically, all of Yellowstone is a big ass volcano.
And they're like, they were just saying, it seems like it's okay right now, but if this like goes off, like it's probably gonna cause like it's the United States is the least. They're like, it's gonna be like a nuclear winter.
Yeah,
you know. So well,
have you seen
a few trigger points here?
The devastation of Mount St. Helens. Like that is insane.
I saw a documentary on Mount St. Helens.
If you see it with your eyes, it's fucking nuts, man. It's like it looks like a nuclear bomb went off. It's crazy.
Yeah, I saw Nova about how Nova will be one of my favorite shows. Fantastic show. How the plant life and the animal life started slowly coming back the last few years. And they were like, they sent back because you're still not allowed to go like around there or whatever, unless you're like an investigator or a scientist or whatever. And they were going and they were finding like plants kind of making the comeback and all that kind of shit because Mount St. Helens went off.
Fucking nuts.
I think it was 1980.
Mm-hmm. So, jetpacks.
Oh yeah,
yeah jetpacks. So I want one.
No,
I
that's
would,
the
I
end.
Think
you're
mine
done.
Would be carbon fiber, like a black carbon fiber. That'd be dope. And I call it the Super Dragon.
How long was that topic, Kev? Big Kev dog.
Should we make it?
No, it's 30 minutes.
Okay, great. Okay. Sure. So my topic then is I want to know what do you never do anymore, but you always thought you would. So like what? Is something you gave up a long time ago, but when you were so lost in the moment of it, you thought you'd do it forever.
Smoking.
Yeah?
Yeah. I haven't smoked a cigarette in a really long time.
Okay.
I always thought I kind of would. I always had in the back of my mind, probably will go back to it, but I always had in the back of my mind that I would just do this. I mean, I figured I'd quit one day, but when you smoke for like 10 years, it's just a part of your life. It's weird. And the fact that I just don't do it anymore, I'll see people smoking. I'll walk by and see them.
You still have the triggers, right?
Where I mean, once you're addicted, you will have that spike of like, I need that forever. Like you'll see someone and you'll like, it's funny because I'll be disgusted. I'll be like, oh God, that smells so terrible. I want one.
I need it.
It's just weird. Yeah. It's a very weird feeling. It's a weird feeling having your brain chemistry betray you. Mm. But yeah, that's actually one of those things that I look back on. And I'm like, I can't fucking believe that I used to do that. I can't believe that I used to go like a half a pack to a pack a day and just chain smoke and thought I needed it. That was the big thing is I was always like, oh, this is great. I need this because it's my one time to have a break or yada, yada, yada. Turns out I'm just as high strung now as I was back then. If not a little bit better than I was then. Cause I'm never like jonesing for that nicotine like I was before. But yeah, that's one of those interesting, like, wow, I haven't, I look back on it and it's been like, I think the absolute last cigarette I ever had was in February of this year.
Mm.
So it's been almost 6 months. Yeah, six
and
months.
I forget, you did the patch for a while? You did the gum?
What? Did the patch for a while. It worked. And I would use that. But then I figured out that I could use the patch to kind of smoke whenever I wanted to and then go off of it. So I would slap a patch on for like a couple of days so I wouldn't go through as bad of withdrawals. And then but then inevitably, I would be like, I really want a cigarette right now, but I got this patch on. So I'd just take the patch off, smoke a cigarette, put the patch back on. It was pretty bad. It got pretty bad.
I'm proud of you, though, for doing it.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it sticks.
You went through all convention season, didn't screw up.
Yeah.
And that's usually where the big trouble is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's when it's hard because you're partying every night. And it's just super fun. There's nothing quite as lovely as a cigarette and a cocktail, or a cigarette and a cup of coffee, or a cigarette when you wake up in the morning, or a cigarette right now.
Do you feel better?
Yeah.
Like demonstrably?
Yeah. I mean, your energy is a little bit more. Like you're not having the peaks and valleys anymore. And also I can breathe better. It's a pretty big drain on you when you smoke that much.
Sure.
So yeah, I don't recommend it. If anyone out there is smoking, quit. Just quit.
Good job, Nick.
Thanks. What about you, Greg? What do you do now that you've...
I kicked it around and I don't know. I don't have great answers for you. And that's a real serious one, right? I mean, mine are all superficial stuff. A really dumb one, but I feel like when I got back into wrestling in high school, mm-hmm. and all of my friends were into wrestling, I remember being so into wrestling. I don't know if I ever thought like this was a passing thing again. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Cause I had done it early 80s, like, or whatever, for mid to late 80s, like all kids did, of Hogan and Warrior and that stuff. And then when the Attitude Era started, it was so awesome and so different. And it was cool to like wrestling and you're talking, you know, in school about it with mm-hmm. other people. I remember that being awesome. And when I went to college, even I was still in wrestling and like going to shows and talking to people there. And it was this is rad. And then I remember somewhere in sophomore years being like, it's just the same shit over and over again. Like right. It seemed like Attitude Era changed everything and anything could happen. And da da da. And then it very much became by the numbers, by the book, where I still think they are in a way now. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So like I fell out of it. And I don't remember though at any point being like, this is forever. But it is that thing of like, I was so into it. It'd be like all of a sudden, like, you know, not liking Superman or falling completely out of comic books, which I guess I kind of did too before digital. Like before I could buy everything digital, I didn't want the collections and I didn't have the spare income. So I wasn't really buying stuff. I was reading them off Barnes and Noble shelves and trying to keep up the best I could, but not being as into it. But I guess even there was still the passion, the drive, and I wanted to be a part of it.
If you're driven enough to go to Barnes and Noble and read into like a bunch of comic books, then...
Well, I mean, that was the thing. Like, I remember when in college, when I got the internship out in D.C., I only knew the other interns, really. We'd go out and drink or whatever. I just turned 21 not too long before that. And getting there and then, like, having, you know, waking up on a Saturday with nothing really to do. I had a long-distance girlfriend back in Columbia at the time. It was just like, cool, I have zero money. I'm making basically nothing off this internship. And I would drive to Barnes & Noble. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And get a coffee or a bottle of water and then just like pick trades off the shelf and walk over there and read magazines and stuff and just chill out and read in this like library that wasn't a library at all that nobody cared about. They were happy to have butts in the seats, I guess, people there. Another one I thought of, again, super trivial and stupid, is that in high school, me and my friends started the tradition of every Halloween we watched Idle Hands. And
the one we should bring back.
And I loved it. And I remember it was just like 1 year where it was like, November 14th or whatever, I was like, fuck, I didn't watch Idle Hands this year. And then I just never did it again.
You've never been the same.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish you were the Greg Miller you could have been.
I know.
Let's call up Devin Sawa and see if he'll give us a copy of Idle Hands.
I mean, we can buy them probably.
We'll watch it.
What we need to do is get Devin Sawa to come.
That'd be amazing. Or go to Devin Sawa's house and just knock on the door.
You've overstepped the bounds.
We figured out where you live. Ha! You know, like jump out at him.
He'd be like, oh, cool. What's up, Greg?
He would be like, get the fuck out of here.
No, Devin's down. Devin's cool. Everybody tweeted Devin. Say hi. Colin, what about you?
Two things come to mind for me. One is playing hockey.
You thought you'd do it forever?
Yeah, well, I thought I would, like, hockey dominated my life for, like, a really long time, and I don't think people that know me as an internet personality, in quotes, really, and they know I like hockey, and I love the game, but, like, I played hockey all year for many years. I played in leagues constantly. I was on traveling teams. I played for my high school. I played mm-hmm. for all these kinds of things, and I was pretty good and, you know, not, like, I was fantastic. I think I was better when I was younger. I played in much more competitive leagues when I was a kid. I always thought that I would play in some capacity, and I get jealous sometimes or a little envious because I know I could just do it. Skating is like riding a bike for me. I've been skating since I was like six, but
you almost did it recently, right?
Yeah. Well, I have my pair of skates now, and I just someone invited me to go to a men's league or whatever. But like the thing is, like my friend Kevin, who did our NHL 94 Let's Plays with us, he plays hockey still like all the time, and I'm so jealous. He's like, it's just a good time. We just get a 30 pack of beer and like put it on the bench and just split the teams up, whatever, and just fuck around. Like, we just rent the rink. And I remember ice time was so expensive when I was a kid, and it's still expensive, but then I realized, like, oh, I have a job. It's not like...
Yeah, you're an adult.
You know, I remember my mom paying, like, thousands of dollars for me to play hockey, like, every year, you know? And not to mention, like, my equipment. Not to mention I was a goalie, so I was getting, you know, I was getting a lot of, like... I used... Hockey fans would respect it, I guess. I used to use Brian's equipment, which was, like, hand-stitched in Canada, and, like, really nice, you know, blockers and gloves and pads. And so I always thought I was just playing. When I was a senior, right before 9/11, right before my senior year of high school, I broke my collarbone and I was out for the year and I couldn't play. And then I just fell off and I've played a few times since then, and I've skated since then. But I always thought I would play hockey. And that was a big part of my life, and I do miss it. I think that I remember the smell of hockey. I remember the taste of it. Like 5 or 6 in the morning when ice time was cheap, and you would just go with your friends and like just get on the ice, and that sound of like fresh, you know, fresh ice and the puck hitting the stick and the puck ringing off the crossbar, which was like my best friend because I was a goalie. That was always a good sign because it didn't go in.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those things, very audiovisual kind of memories for me. The other thing that I think is bigger that has more resonance to me as an adult is chess. I got really into chess when I was like 12 or 13, and I played chess throughout high school and in college, and I played chess all the fucking time, constantly played chess. And at chess, I was actually very good at, and I really enjoyed it. I would read about it. I'd read strategy about it. I'd play online. I'd go to, clubs and cafes and like, play. Like there's when I was in high school, especially like 11th and 12th grade, and then like early in college, I played chess like every day. I would sometimes like cut school or like after school, go to Washington Square Park in New York City, like get on the train with my friend and go play there.
That's the park with all the tables in the open and stuff.
Yeah. You'd see it and like searching for Bobby Fischer.
Can I have a question about that? Cause I've always wondered, so pieces are just there and nobody steals them?
No, pieces aren't there. People go and like occupy those tables, and a lot of them are playing a game called Blitz, which is, conventional chess rules, but 5 minutes aside. You can play Bullet, which is like 1 or 2 minutes aside, which is like incomprehensibly fast. Like I can't play that. And the you're playing for money there. So I would, you're not playing for fun. And I think I've told the story is that like one of my first times in Washington Square Park, I had like what was a kind of a scary situation. It wasn't scary. It was just like, I learned a lot where I was waiting to play this guy, and his clock had run out, but the other guy didn't notice. So like he was playing and hitting the clock, like it's gamesmanship. Like the guy didn't notice, he didn't call him out. So they're playing or whatever. And I'm like, your clock's out. And the guy looked at me, he's like, what the fuck are you? And he was like a grown man. I was like 15 or 16. What the fuck are you doing? You know, like, and like lost like $20 on the game, or whatever. And I was like, all right, like you kind of have to learn the rules of the road there. And I wasn't very good at playing Blitz, but, and I'm still not, I like playing standard games, but, I learned a lot about playing chess in Washington Square Park. And it's like, it's an iconic place to play chess. And so me and my friend Dave used to go there, a good buddy of mine. And I played chess with Dave like thousands of times. Like he drove a Honda Civic, I remember. And we took like a few classes together. We had lunch at the same time. So we would roll out the mat at lunch and play. We would play in the back of our astronomy class. Astronomy was basically like a throwaway science class when you were a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And our
professor, like Orion's belt. I got it.
Yeah. Our teacher was like really
Orion
cool.
Orion was the cat.
So we would constantly be playing chess there. I'd play chess at lunch. I'd play chess after school. This place called Kitchen and Coffee that doesn't exist anymore. I used to go there and play chess. I used to go to Borders and play chess. There was a skate shop that we used to go to and play chess. They'd let us sit in like the display window and play like games of chess, like a bunch of people. Cool. I played regularly until I got here, in 2007, and then 2007 and 2008, I would play ICC, which is Internet Chess Club, which is like a cool place. Like apparently Howard Stern plays on there and like a bunch of other people like incognito, kind of way. And I play there and you have ratings and stuff like that. And you pay money. But eventually like I lost the allure of the game because it just like I want to play with people, and I lost like my whole group of friends that play. And I've always intended on finding, I know San Francisco has chess clubs. I know people play here.
I'm sure.
But like getting back in the chess, like I can play, like I kid around with this with Jared actually, because Jared plays chess, Jared Petty, who's on the show not too long ago, where I was like, the thing about chess that's funny is a lot of people know how to play it, but you can destroy people in chess. Like if they, like I sit down at the chess table and always expect to win unless I know that the other person knows how to play. And you could do like dickheaded moves, like bringing your queen out really early. You could beat a person in 3 moves in chess. And when I don't trust that a person knows how to play chess, I do that move. To like just see like test like it. Because if they know you're doing it, they can destroy you, like they can trap your queen and all this kind of stuff. So it's a good way, it's a good litmus test. But I want to like be able to sit around people. I'm not saying I'm like a fucking grandmaster by any stretch of the imagination, but I want to play with people that I know can beat me. And when you don't play chess for a while, you lose it. You always know how the moves go, but like you stop seeing the board the way you see it when you play it every day. And so more than hockey, even, I always expected chess would be a big part of my life, and I still contend to this day that chess is the greatest game in the world, better than any sport and better than any video game for sure. And I love it. It is a perfect, immaculate, strategic, brain-driven, fascinating game. And when you read about it, and when you read about these tournaments, and you read about these people that played, and some of these people go crazy in their minds, like that they play against themselves because they can't find any good challengers. These guys playing computers. These guys, Gary Kasparov playing Deep Blue, the IBM's supercomputer or whatever. And thinking that they're cheating. There's a lot of fascinating stuff. Like when Deep Blue beat Kasparov, I think in 96 or whatever, he got fucking furious thinking that they were cheating and stuff like that. And
there
it's
was
like
a man inside the machine.
Is that how long ago it was?
They played over and over again. They kept I think they're on the fourth or fifth iteration of that computer. But the idea that,
cause it's pretty, didn't it get to a point recently where it's pretty unbeatable?
Yeah. There are algorithms that are really hard. Even if you play Chessmaster or any of these games or whatever, mm-hmm. I get to a point where I'm I cannot these guys destroy me.
Right.
Because there's no room for error. But chess, the problem with computing with chess is it is so brain driven. It is such a clever game. There are sacrifices and gambits and all these things, discovery checks and all these kinds of things that require a human mind. Why would you throw away your pieces like that? The computer might not be able to understand, why are you sacrificing
this
now,
that.
But you want position, sure. Sure. And it's, so it's, so I, they're able to do, and they're making these great computers. But I remember the greatest game I ever played. I was a senior in high school at Kitchen and Coffee. And, I used to play with this guy, Justin, all the time. He used to destroy me. He had a friend. He was a great chess player on Long Island. He was pretty renowned. And I used to play him. You play better people and you learn. You write notation. You learn how to write chess notation and you can play the games back later and learn what you did wrong or what you did right. And there was this guy that used to play there all the time. And he wanted to play me for fun. He was really good, a renowned player. And I lost my queen, which is when you lose your queen in chess, it's devastating. It's over. The game's over. If you don't have your queen, the queen, for people that don't know, the most powerful piece in chess, it's a rook and a bishop combined, basically. And so it is a massively powerful piece. And you usually don't bring it out until the mid or end game. And you protect it at all costs, actually, because you don't want to lose it. And this guy took my queen and I was devastated, but I kept playing. And the guy was flustered by this. He's it was surprising. I didn't knock my king over and be I resign. Mm-hmm. And I kept playing and I won. I beat him.
Did he his monocle fall out and he dropped his teeth?
And I'll never forget it as long as I live. This guy was in his 50s. I was just 16 or 17 years old and I beat him. I remember sacrificing a rook and he just moved and with another rook, I took his queen. And so I was only down a rook and then instead of being down a queen. And then I slowly materially gained position on the board. He hadn't castled and stuff like that. So he wasn't protected. It was I'll never forget the game. I see it in my head still, how the game went. Not maybe piece by piece. But I remember the waves of the game. And he lost and got up and walked out.
He didn't say good job.
No, fuck, didn't shake
guy.
My hand, didn't say
what
anything.
A dick.
And I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I remember him. The only thing he said, he's like, "Why didn't you resign?" I remember he saying that, and then left because it was considered not a gentlemanly thing to do, I guess.
And you're like, yeah. "I'm from New York,
really?"
Yeah.
He asked you why you didn't.
Yeah.
What a fucking
because he took
dickhole.
because he trapped my queen and
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'll never forget that as long as I live. So anyway, long stories, but those are my two things: hockey and chess.
Tim Tamaru. What was a big part of your life that's no longer a big part of your life that you always thought would be a big part of your life?
So I got three things. The first one is not actually an accurate answer for your question.
Thank you.
Because things that I always thought would be in my life, Power Rangers, Star Wars, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking vividly, I am never going to stop watching Power Rangers.
Ah, yeah.
I remember that. Being 8 years old and being I fucking love this. I'm going to love this forever because I equated that in Star Wars. They're all equal in my book back then, right?
Sure.
It's kind of weird how right I was in a way for what we're doing here, you know? So I can't really say that's something that I don't do anymore because I really do. Obviously, I stopped watching Power Rangers a long time ago. But it is kind of weird that all that nostalgia shit never went away. Video games still just a part of my life just as much as they were. Bad TV shows, yeah, bad movie. Yeah. We're about to watch Suicide Squad tonight, yeah. And I'm fucking excited about that.
That's a really good point, actually, of things that comic. I thought Superman and DC Comics have been with me literally since birth. It feels like, and video games and those things I'd bet hard on, and they are still vibrant parts of my life.
I feel like those should be the answers, but they're not. The answers for me are extreme sports, I guess. So. rollerblades or skateboarding.
Aggressive inline.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That type of stuff. I mean, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and aggressive inline and all those video games that came out really inspired me to get out there and do stuff. And even before then, like just thinking about playing games like recess style games on like playgrounds, right? Like handball or Foursquare or
Red Rover,
like that type of shit. Hide and seek, water balloon fights, all this stuff. That was such a important thing to me. And like to think of, like, I feel like those more little kiddie things turned into the skateboarding style stuff.
Sure.
I was 13 when Razor scooters came out, so like those were fucking cool. And I could not imagine then that there'd be a time where I'm not excited to physically do things and you know, roll around on in mm-hmm. someone do sick jumps. You know,
do some sick fucking
That before we had cars, you know, like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to do today? I'm just going to go somewhere was the answer, you know? And it's just, you just get on your scooter and go somewhere.
I used to ride bikes like nobody's business. And I probably thought bikes. I'd always ride bikes. Yeah,
exactly. All that stuff. And it's, if I were to go back to even 15-year-old Tim and be like, dude, you're not going to give a shit about the skateboard you have, it would blow my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have to, before cars, have to go to Kevin's house. I'd have to take the bus, and he was like a 30-minute walk to get to his house. And it'd be like a 10-minute skateboard or scooter or whatever. And it's just like, that shit was just like, hell yeah, this is awesome.
Maximizing my time.
Yeah. So I'm kind of sad that that's not in my life anymore, but I also couldn't imagine it being there.
I'd love it if you still rode a Razor scooter around.
No, but see, then they got all retro, right? So now it's like cool to do them again, but it's not. It's definitely not.
Is cool? That little wheel you get on and just.
I mean, that's.
I'm going to take a step back for a second and say that it was actually never cool to ride a Razor scooter.
I mean,
at all.
Not as cool as it was when you were
skateboarding. Skateboarding from its inception has always been cool, right?
Very true.
Like the late 70s or whenever the fuck it started happening to like. By the time I was born in the 80s, 1980, skateboarding was like, if you didn't skateboard, you're not cool at all. And I was not cool. I did not skateboard. I tried. My brother broke his wrist, and then my mom took my skateboard away.
I remember.
And I shit you not, in a Herculean effort, snapped it over.
Damn.
And just fucking hurled it into space.
I remember getting my skateboard. I was so excited to get a skateboard because I wanted to skateboard like Marty McFly. And I totally overlooked the fact that we had a gravel driveway. So then to like practice, or like even if like I'm out in the fucking street like a weirdo just like trying to get it down in front of my little house, it's embarrassing.
I tried that for about a second, but skateboarding I think is one of the only things like that that has actually stuck around, right? I guess mountain biking, but it was never that cool. Like biking is
BMXing,
like BMXing, I guess, not mountain biking, seems like BMXing's kind of cool, but skateboarding's always been sort of like a staple.
I think biking is cool, not BMX.
Yeah, BMXing was a. I mean, people still do it.
Right. Yeah, it was the thing.
I mean,
Matt Hoffman was like, yeah. Dave Mirra.
Yeah,
like,
Matt
what
Hoffman
up?
Died, right? Isn't he? My brother Dagan, who does an animated series, has been skating since he was 8 or 9, and is really good, and still skates to this day. In his early 40s, he still has a deck in the back of his car. He still skates like to this day, and it's like he is nasty, like still. And I grew up in that cult, like around that culture. It's a fantastic culture. These guys like going to New York City and buying these bootleg tapes to watch like other people's performance. This is long before it was, you know, common to be able to buy, you know, real skate tapes and stuff like that. Like there was a lot of like bootleg ass shit going on out there. Yeah. And I remember like being kind of, I had a skateboard in college, even I would skate to class and stuff, but I used to ride girl skateboards, but I always respected the shit out of that culture because it has been a ubiquitous American thing for, like you said, for 45 years. And it is pretty, neat when you think about it. If people ever, my brother lives in Philadelphia, has lived there for over 20 years, and there's a skate park, and I think it's still there in Philadelphia called FDR, which is like an amazing place to skate. And you see people doing all sorts of weird shit. Still people riding longboards and like just fucking like grooving around, and guys doing like, you know, like guys like still stuck in the 70s and 80s. I used to just sit there and watch. Like, I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
Really, really cool culture. Yeah.
But then the other thing, and I think this is the more relevant one, is I always thought that I would have to do a lot of bullshit that I don't want to do, like write essays and like do shitty jobs that I don't want to do, and like, you know, prove things to people and stuff. And somehow I have evaded all of that. Like somehow what we do now allows me to just not deal with so much of that shit. And it's crazy because I would have, there's no way that I could have predicted that I wouldn't have to. It's not like I don't need to do, there's not things that I don't want to do. But even the things that I don't want to do here are still way higher than like 90% of the things people even like at their jobs and stuff.
Sure.
So that's, that blows my mind, because we are, have been gotten such a really cool opportunity to do this shit, and it's awesome. You know, because I remember being in class, whether it's high school or college, and writing papers and just being like, fuck, I wish I could just edit a video. I wish that was my assignment, was to edit a video. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into the my higher like major classes in college, it was like, your assignment is to edit a video. And it was like, fuck, I wish I could just edit the video. I wanted to edit. I don't want to edit this bullshit. Like, this is stupid. And now it's like, I get to edit whatever video I want to edit, you know,
or not edit
or not. But like, that's awesome. Yeah.
No, that's true. I mean, that's something you don't, that's one of the things that we're kind of blessed with doing what we do, right? We always kind of, I think each of us can honestly say that we're pretty lucky to be doing what we're 100%. Doing. We work really hard at it, but at the same time, there's some cosmic thing happened where we all got together and this just sort of worked out, which is awesome. We have a lot of people out there that help support us, which is even fucking awesomer. But I feel you on that, because up until, I don't think I understood the freedom that this was going to afford us until we did it. And I was like, oh, wait, like, we could just decide we don't want to do that thing.
Yeah.
And we don't. And there's no fucked up a senior vice president agenda or something like that. Or like, I'm not calling out anyone specifically, but
yeah,
like, or a CEO or someone that owns the business. That's like, well, this is part of the plan. And then all of a sudden you get someone comes to you and was like, I need you to do this thing that I don't even believe in, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
And you have to sell it to your team. And it's like, well, I don't want to do that either. None of us want to do any of this stuff, but it's, I guess it affects the bottom line. So that's pretty important, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Tim?
Yes.
What's your topic?
So my topic is going to definitely be a nice end to this episode of Ridiculous Shenanigans.
Great.
I want to talk about the Romeo and Juliet movie from 1996.
Claire Danes.
Claire Danes. Shout out to Claire Danes, though. Now, here's the thing about Claire Danes.
I'm going to look at the IMDb page.
She.
Great cast.
John motherfucking Leguizamo.
But I can't remember who Romeo was.
Leonardo DiCaprio. It was Leonardo DiCaprio, John Leguizamo, the guy from Oz, who was in Everything Now.
Ernie Hudson.
No, not Ernie Hudson. He was in Oz as well. Yeah, look that up. Hurry up. Stop fucking around.
But Claire Danes was A-okay.
Well, I mean, this is like, because this was you can look through whoever you're looking for. But this was the thing I remember when this hits. This hits when I'm in high school, and this is like, her, and I'm probably wrong, but in my mind, her first big movie after My So-Called Life. And My So-Called Life was totally when I, like, totally developed a crush on this woman. Of, like, she's in high school, too, right? And, like, this loner outcast kind of thing or whatever. In love with, of course, the Joker, Jared Leto. Mm-hmm. And then to see her go to this, and at the time, it was such a big deal that she was, like, this super hot thing. And then Leonardo DiCaprio, of course, super
hot
thing.
Perfect. I mean, I do not believe in any couple in the history of couples more than those two human beings together. I just want maybe Brittany and Justin. I want to give a shout out.
Did they
Brittany
really date though?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I mean,
just making sure I understand.
There's a fantasy that I'm trying to uphold here.
What about Kate Doesn't Winslet and kid?
No, that's a joke.
Near, far, wherever you are.
You're shaking. I'll be okay. God, this movie was fucking good.
It's
man.
So fucking cool.
Baz Luhrmann. Baz Luhrmann did that, and then he did Moulin Rouge, and you were like, what the fuck, Baz Luhrmann? Where you come from then? Can't remember anything else after that.
Moulin Rouge was so dope, too.
Moulin Rouge is awesome. And all of them had really, like, this is one of the things that I loved about his style, is that he really picks, like, you can tell he sits and listens to music and, like, envisions the story through music.
Which is the most important thing.
Which is really, really awesome, because they look, they're all sort of, like, really long, amazingly directed music videos.
Yep.
But with awesome fucking covers of the song. I'm thinking specifically more Moulin Rouge. I think, if I remember, I forget what the song was.
There was a Prince cover in Romeo and Juliet.
What was it, though? I'm trying to figure out. There was a couple songs in Romeo and Juliet that were awesome. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, dude,
When Doves Cry?
Yeah.
Dude, the soundtrack is, like, all, like,
good.
The Romeo and Juliet soundtrack is, like, an... It starts with like Number One Crush or whatever. Isn't it a garbage song? Like there's
times platinum.
Yeah, it's like an amazing. I remember getting that CD and being like, and my sister actually, I was in sixth grade, I think, when it came out, sixth grade, I think. And I was like, wow, what a fantastic, this movie is so, not knowing anything about cinema then or now, I was like, this movie is stylish. This movie is fucking well told. It's interesting. It's Shakespearean, but modern, obviously. I fucking loved that movie. And I,
I don't know if I'm just over remembering it or it was just because I was a kid and it was like a, kind of part of the zeitgeist at that time for me and my friends and for, but I felt like that movie was kind of like a cultural phenomenon.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, no, I looked at the, I wasn't in high school yet. I was about to go in high school, I guess. Or, you know, whatever. But like, you're at that age where like, everyone, like, you're still in English class. They're trying to make you read all this shit. You have no, you're like, oh, there's no relevance to you, I always felt like with this. And then to have it set in, you know, this modern thing, original script, and then use guns instead of knives and all this different stuff. It was like,
so
set
fucking
in LA,
sick.
It was like a great idea.
But still, this, but still a Shakespearean language.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's a, this is kind of blowing my mind. I thought people didn't like this movie.
Oh.
I don't,
maybe they don't,
but
a lot of people didn't like it.
Paul Rudd was in this movie?
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I was thinking of Harold Perrineau.
Oh, okay.
You know him. He's, you've seen this guy in everything.
Okay. Yeah, you could have just said,
that was in a wheelchair. In
yeah,
Oz.
In Oz, yeah.
Which was maybe the most terrifying show I ever forced myself to watch.
Yeah, which is forever.
I watch Oz in high school and I'm like, I don't know why I'm forcing myself to watch this, so I can't stop.
It was like Chris Maloney and J.K. Simmons. Every time I see those two guys, I'm like,
yeah,
you guys are awesome. But I remember when you burned a swastika into another dude's ass and you cut a guy's like neck with a razor blade that was in your mouth.
Yeah, that one guy bit a guy's dick off. And yeah, also, I
never watched Oz.
Oz was, you don't know what Oz? Oz was about like a super maximum prison and it was fucking
terrifying.
Horrifying.
It was horrible.
Horrifying. I can't believe I watched all of that shit. I was like, I don't know.
Did it have anything to do with Wizard of Oz at all?
They called the
40.
This, they were in the supermax portion of the prison. Mm-hmm. They called it Emerald City.
You gotta make sure that it was
closed. That's what it was called, I guess. And so they called it Oz. But I don't know if it was. I think maybe it was Oswald Penitentiary.
Yeah,
does that sound
like
right?
That.
I don't know. It was terrifying.
I haven't watched it. Literally, yeah, don't watch it. 14 years.
Ago. It will ruin your perception of J.K. Simmons.
Really?
Like, yeah, the guy that played Jane Jonah Jameson in the first three Spider-Man. Super fun guy. Now he's Commissioner Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the leader of the neo Nazis, the skinheads, and he was fucking horrible, and it was awesome,
man.
Yeah, that show is fuck. Well, let me ask you this, you would know the answer to this. Was this the first, like, because I remember like 10 things I do about, or 10 things I like about, what was
10 things I hate about you,
right?
Taming of the Shrew,
yeah, like, so I know that that was kind of like a thing that people were doing after Romeo and Juliet. What was there, was a, was there a modernized tradition of retelling Shakespeare before this particular film?
Not like that. I think, you know, the only other Shakespeare film that I can even remember is the classic, like, Franco Zeffirelli, Romeo and Juliet.
Where there was nudity, I remember that was a big deal when they showed that in class. Like, all right, well, hold on.
Yeah, everyone relax. Like, this is the human body.
I think we were all excited because we thought it was going to be her, and I think it was him, right? We're
like, what the hell?
It was
his butt.
We got robbed, I tell you.
I remember around that time, Mel Gibson had done a retelling of Hamlet, which everyone kind of criticized a little bit because it was shortened. And I think, obviously, there was a good Henry VIII. Or Henry V.
What was the movie that Elizabeth?
One of the Henrys.
Diamonds Are Forever, chick. Why can't
Elizabeth Taylor?
Elizabeth Taylor. She was in wasn't she in like Taming of the Shrew or something like that? Or
she one of these Cleopatra for sure. But I don't know if that's not what you're thinking.
Can you look that up for me? Because I remember seeing that, and I thought it wasn't. I don't know.
But I think that's why this film was so. It was very weirdly accepted, like, or very weirdly, like when it hit.
Yeah.
People didn't really know what to think about it. I was like, I should not like this as much as I do. But I've never liked Shakespeare.
I'm shocked that you like it because it is very, very, very style over substance.
When I watched it the first time, I think I remember hating it.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until I watched it, I think a little later in life, and I'm like, this is fucking genius. Actually, no, it wasn't until Moulin Rouge happened.
Mm.
And then I was like, I get it. This is just, like, up until that point, I had just been acclimated to a specific type of filmmaking, right? Because, like, in the 80s, there wasn't a lot of that happening, right? You were either, like, making cool indie films or blockbusters.
Action
and
movies.
It was pretty much, that was my childhood. I'm not saying that wasn't going on. Obviously, there's a lot of great directors doing other stuff in the 80s, but my exposure to it was like Predator, Total Recall,
yep,
all that stuff. So seeing this, I'm like, I don't, I can't deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, that was mid-90s. And then I think it wasn't until Moulin Rouge that happened, and I was like, oh, I think I'm ready for this now. You go back and watch it, and you're like, this is kind of genius.
Yeah.
But also, I think I had an English lit teacher who was like, that was terrible.
Of course.
It was like the worst interpretation. I was like, but I don't think you're right, because this is just an interpretation of the story, and I think it's really cool because for a lot of people, especially people my age, who I was 16 when the movie came out, that was the age of the characters, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, this is pretty kind of cool because these are supposed to be like young teenagers in love, and I'm in love, and I'm kind of understanding their language a little bit more
too.
Now. Like, well, I'll be honest, most of the time when I read Shakespeare, I mean, even probably to this day, I haven't tried to read Shakespeare in fucking 20 years. But I guarantee you, I would still struggle with it. But seeing it there, you at least understood the emotion of what was happening.
Yeah.
Even if you couldn't quite parse together.
Well, there's a novelty to
the
it too.
The meaning of everything.
You know, like seeing the characters and having them still talk that way, but having the scenarios that they're in kind of tell the story in a different way. Like, it's funny because it reminds me, his movies remind me a lot of Tarantino movies in the sense that the music, what you were saying earlier, the music kind of motivates the scenes a lot. So you can tell that every single song choice, whether it's from the like the pop soundtrack stuff,
right,
or the like orchestration and score to it, like that, it feels like they made that first and then edited the movie on top of it. So it is like a 2-hour music video. I was reading trivia a second ago about the movie. The movie's 2 hours because in the first, it's exactly 2 hours because in the intro bit, they're like the 2-hour traffic of this blah, 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 blah. It's like, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. There's a lot of little thoughts being put in there and stuff. But I want to give a shout out to the intro.
When's the last time you watched
this movie?
It?
I don't know. Okay. Super long. But I'm renting it from iTunes.
Thank you.
Because I wanna watch the intro because I remember it being the fucking coolest thing in the goddamn world.
Sure.
Let's look at this.
Are we gonna Gatsby. That's
no, that's
right.
How you go to jail.
They can look it up. This shit.
Oh yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this? You're gonna start the movie with this?
Damn right, yeah.
So, yeah, it starts off with that, like, news report thing where it's her giving that opening monologue or whatever. The camera zooms into the TV and all of a sudden just fucking explodes to this, like, ridiculously epic music playing and then just cuts of all the different things. And it's just like, there's a voiceover over building orchestra music and it just explains the story of the Montagues, the Capulets, whatever. You see these motherfuckers with shotguns and stuff and it's like, longbow or whatever the fuck. I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then just bam, Romeo and Juliet. I'm like, I'm fucking in. Then John Leguizamo's there, cruising around like a gangster doing his fucking tango dances and shit. Hell yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio, my dude.
Yeah.
Did you see the
Great 10 out of 10 movie?
Did you see the Great Gatsby?
Oh yeah.
What do you think of that?
It's all right.
Yeah, it was quite
good. I like the style of it,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Was he fresh off was DiCaprio fresh off of Growing Pains? Was this like had he done movies? He did Gilbert Grape. Yeah.
And he did The Basketball Diaries as well.
Oh right. Yeah,
which was like earlier 90s.
Yeah, he came out with Basketball Diaries and I was like, holy fuck, this kid can act and finds good projects, and then he did this. And
I think this
is what, like, he was always a kind of a heartthrob, but I think this was like put the poster on the wall, turn the lights off, and just let things get.
He's
moist.
An amazing actor, an amazing.
He's a great actor. He's only getting better with age too. Like, the Revenant,
he finally
was fucking amazing.
Didn't he finally win
an Academy Award
for the Revenant.
He was in Titanic.
Who's
man.
The guy? Who's the guy that you follow me on this one? It just started a sports show on HBO. And he has that awesome promo where he's like, I believe in a Bill Belichick, whatchamacallit, like presidency, I believe that every Leonardo DiCaprio movie would be just a little bit better if it was a Matt Damon movie.
Jim Rome?
No, it's not Jim Rome. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's a funny line, but I disagree with him vehemently. I think DiCaprio is just as good as Matt Damon.
I think he's better than Matt Damon, and I love Matt Damon.
Is that a question? People think Matt Damon is better than Leonardo DiCaprio?
Matt Damon's pretty fucking good.
Matt Damon's good. Matt Damon is really good.
Matt Damon's cool. He's not fucking Leonardo DiCaprio.
Just putting it out there. Just make sure we're all on the same page about Matt Damon.
They're definitely on the same echelon, I would say.
I would say
really?
So,
yeah, that top with, like, God. Clooney and all those guys. Like, the top.
I feel like Matt Damon is one step below your Clooneys and your DiCaprios. IMO.
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio's God tier. Matt Damon, he's a good actor. There's a difference. Great, I give him great.
I was gonna say, what's the? I can never remember the guy's name. Please.
Ernie Hudson.
No, Nightwing in the third Batman movie.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He's fucking awesome too. I love that guy.
Oh yeah, he's awesome.
Not that I know anything about actors, too. But
yes,
great project.
We're about to see the great actor Jared Leto tonight. So.
I can't wait to see that. That's actually the thing I'm looking forward to most. I want to see that, and I want to see Batman Swim. And if I can see those two things, I'm done.
You want to see Batman Swim?
By the time you see this video, that video, our reaction to Suicide Squad's up. So make sure you go check that out. Maybe one of us is dead by now.
A quick prediction?
No, because it's so old by then.
Oh, good point. Right, this is coming out.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Game Over Greggy Show each and every week. 4, sometimes 5 best friends gather on this table. Each bring a random topic of discussion for your amusement. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can toss us a few bucks and get each and every episode early, along with a bunch of exclusive things and perks and goodies and tiers and whatever. If you got no bucks to toss, though, head over to youtube.com/kindoffunny, where we post the show topic by topic, day by day, until it goes up as one big video or MP3 around the world. Until next time.
Look at that ice cream scoop, huh?
Jesus Christ. I'm not throwing some weight up.
I'm not doing it. I totally could. I could flip this whole table if I wanted to.
It's an IKEA.
Dare me to do it.
It's not.
Dare me to do it.
Please don't.
Dare me.
It only
until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.